Welcome at the Order of Time. Today I would like to talk to you about death and reincarnation. We people today are more or less reborn from the day of yesterday. In the morning we wake up and start a new day, which is a kind of a new life. Because the way we resurrect in the morning from the seeming death of the unconscious sleep, we also see us finding a life when we are born from our mothers and fathers. Wisdom says what is born will also die, and what dies will also be born. So what is born and what dies and what is undying or eternal? The classical answers to these questions are that the body ages and that the soul is the sameness. So the soul doesn't really change, but the body does. So, this incarnation that we have is a matter of duality, if we speak of reincarnation. And that is just, let's say, the spiritual vision. In the spiritual vision, reasoning from principles, we make a difference between the self of principles, which we could call the soul, and the self that is more of a liberal mind, that's more liberal, and which doesn't regulate its activities as much as the soul requires. Our regulated behavior is considered to be devotional. In regulations, we are devoted to a certain concept of order. This concept of order is set to a certain type of rules, regulative principles, by which we say we are human. Well, our humanness is the meaning of our life is much determined by the principle. The principle that tells us that we are human. We discussed these principles before. And from this we have this definition of soul. But before this spiritual integrity of self-realization, of dual notions of reality, of a soul embodied in a material world, we speak of a non-duality. To begin with, the scientific department considers it not very correct to speak of two persons, one body person and one soul person. This inner dividedness is, to their taste, a type of illusion. This infilognosy, the love of knowledge at this site, we do not reject this idea of reality. We just said it before, in a linear argument, we said it before the dual position of spirituality. This scientific approach consists of weighing the knowledge so as to arrive at a type of order we call a paradigm. And this paradigm is just motivated for non-illusion. In this paradigm we say, okay, if we want to see things as they are, what we think of reality must be the same as the reality itself. So if you think of a chair, and it must perfectly match the chair that the senses tell you that there would be, then we are non-illusion, then we are very concrete in our consciousness. But still, even from the Department of Philosophy, we say there's a consciousness. In the consciousness, there's an object in the consciousness, and there's a subject. So this subject, this self, if we take it further to the next step, to the next discipline in philognosy, this subject is a soul. It's called a soul when it is subjected to these regulative principles of truthfulness, non-violence, or peace, sharing, or penance, or renunciation, and purity, or celibacy, and that category of values. So these four principles of truthfulness and the rest, they tell us when we speak of an ego and when we speak of a soul. The ego is the I awareness identified with the material world, and this is not really what would reincarnate if there would be a reincarnation. The ego is associated with fear and desires and lust motives. It is not as it is a primary principle often. When I'm hungry, I eat. When I sleep, I go to sleep. And many people consider this lust principle as the prime cause of our health, because let nature take its course, and that would be natural. From the duality, you can have all kinds of problems, according the opponents. Well, the majority of mankind believes there's a type of God, something, a power, a rule, closely associated to what we call the soul. So this soul is what we talk about when we talk about death and reincarnation. When we die, the body evidently disappears, but the soul, the self of the principles, is said to be continuing. It doesn't age. It is the same witness, which is simply remembered when the actual brain of that individual has disappeared. You can compare it to changing cars. If your car is very old, you trade it in for a new one, and the driver simply takes up another car. Another comparison is that of computers. You can have a computer, and this computer has a user. On itself, the computer won't do anything except for what the user has told it to do. So we have a program in that computer and the user of that program. And there's a mediation between the machine and the user. So the user we call the soul, and the program we call the spirit. The computer we call the body, the functional presence in the material world. So when we speak of reincarnation, we say that this soul continues, that this user continues like the user, like the driver in the car, and like the man that uses the computer. So this is all pretty abstract if we speak about birth and death in terms of these abstracts of a soul, a type of self separate from the body. So let's be more concrete and have an example. Recently, the dictator of Iraq has been executed, with the idea that that it would be good to have a death penalty for a criminal who committed murder. He was found guilty of mass murder. He terrorized his people, and yes, he made certainly an impression in the world, in Iraq, which was the example of murder. He ruled by terror and fear, and he simply killed all his opponents. He even killed his own family. So this is, of course, an abhorrible policy, which we have fought all together. And there's a price paid for it, because removing the dictator does not move the impression that such a soul made in the world. The Iraqis learned to live with the death penalty, more or less. Anyone who would oppose would receive the death penalty. And removing the dictator, still that practice continues. So everybody in Iraq believes there is the necessity of killing anyone who disagrees with you as an opponent. So we may wonder whether this decision to kill this dictator was a wise decision. Many countries in the world doubt whether the death penalty would be the right conduct of correcting this kind of malice. So the problem is that we cannot prove that reincarnation does not exist. So you could say that with the dictator removed, his soul continues, his self continues. Let's not directly call it a soul, but there's certainly a kind of self remembered which continues. And that self is very well capable of reincarnation. We cannot prove that that this reincarnation does not exist. In fact, in India, there are saints who can deliver proof of this this fact that reincarnation exists. They speak of context in previous lives, which carries information which they impossibly could have gathered in this material body. So from these witnesses, and also from more intuitive type of citizens who also sometimes remember a previous birth, there's the clear notion that there will be reincarnation. In fact, most of the people believe that reincarnation exists. So if that would be the democratic majority in Iraq, a dangerous situation has been created by removing the dictator by means of the death penalty. So he might reincarnate in 16 years without having done any serious penance or having improved himself or having experienced that that he should lead another life with another mind and another attitude. So he died in the conviction that he did the right thing, and he might very well return to his followers, incarnating as a young boy. Maybe he becomes a girl, that's not guaranteed, but he can become a boy, and boys are known to be more violent than girls, at least with the weapons and the armies. And so we run the risk with the death penalty that this man returns as a boy in 16 years, and he simply continues with his mission to subdue people by means of murder and terror. So from this perspective of reincarnation, the problem is not solved at all by killing each other. The civilized manner is to incarcerate people, sometimes for life, if they did wrong. So if we would have caught this man and not condemned him to death, he would have, he was about 67 years old, so maybe he would become 20 more years older. And then adding the 16 years of finding a new life in a new body, then he would have done served 36 years of time, which is, better than the previous option. So from this perspective, it would have been wise not to kill him. The pro says, the argument in favor says that to remove the dictator was necessary to take away the illusion of the Ba'ath party members that their leader could be liberated and could lead them still. So that for to take it, it was weighing these two things, what should have been done, but what didn't happen. So the fundamental problem in this seems to be the disbelief in reincarnation, and the fact that if we disbelieve in reincarnation, it still might exist. Christians don't believe in reincarnation, but still many Christians believe it exists. Hindus also say we should be liberated from the cycle of birth and death, and as such they don't believe in reincarnation either, but still it might exist. So if the politicians would be more wise and consider this a very realistic option of a continuing self as projected in the world, it's called the subtle body of someone, right? Just like a fingerprint will leave an impression in the world, and this impression is like a glove to a soul, to the self, and that self simply might continue in a next birth. So therefore killing is no option from the point of wisdom. And but to appease with all this, we just have prayers. We say, okay, it's not to forgive or to forget, but to remember what should be remembered. And when we do prayers, we remember what should be known. What should be known are these principles of truth, of peace, of sharing, and of the unity, yeah? To be faithful to that unity, to be of purity in that. We pray for this peace in Iraq. And to this we say, well, let peace with the natural order, which is pretty Islam, let peace with the natural order rule the world in respect of the truth, sharing all with each in moderation, faithful to the cause of unity. The hope I would like to express, and the prayer, what I pray for, is that with killing the dictator, the death penalty itself has been killed. The dictator was the embodiment of the death penalty. And what he left behind, his legacy, was this philosophy of rule, to rule with the death penalty. And this is also what killed him. Who takes up the sword will be slain by it. So it is a conviction which is disastrous in the world, the death penalty. It's the cause of the war, in fact, which is still going on in Iraq. Everybody believes in the death penalty, and killing each other is a normal state of affairs in Iraq at the moment. It's a civil war, because arguing is second to killing. And as we explained before, this is an emancipation problem, and we hope that with killing the dictator, also the death penalty has been killed, and that this war of the continuation of the death penalty will find its end, because everybody knows that the death penalty is in fact a self-destructive operation, strategy. In fact, any punishment more severe than the offense contains the element of escalation. So if we formally institute a penalty which exceeds the offense, we have instituted escalation. If I steal something from you, you cut off my hand. If I with my other hand cut your feet off as a revenge, then you will cut my limbs off. And then I will speak with my mouth and order a murderer to cut your head off. And then the family of that man will decide that my family is wrong and kill my family. And then the neighborhood where I live and the people of my creed will decide that you have started a war against them and thus attack you. And so you escalate into a war, and there's nothing to prevent it. As long as you think of punishing, to set an example, people more severe than the offense, original offense. So if somebody steals from you, you give him a penalty, a fine, or a notice on his record, which is has serious consequences because that influences the ability to find a job, the job opportunity, and your status in society. Once a thief, always a thief, and all that stigmatizing, which is very bad on itself. So it's not necessary at all to be so destructive out of fear that something like that might happen again, especially considering proprietorship, which is in spirituality an issue under debate. So if you want to live in peace altogether, our prayer is for this peace with natural order. We hope that with the death penalty for the dictator, the death penalty itself has died. So this is what I wanted to tell you about a continuing soul relating to the reality of the death penalty and death in general. I thank you for your attention.